up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Are we ready? When is the last time you did an interview?
Oh my God, not ever face to face. I don't think I've ever done an interview face to face.
Okay, well, let's start.
Emma Chamberlain.
Hi, Alex Coopy.
Welcome to Call Her Daddy. Coopy, oh my God, we're on like nickname terms. Emma, yeah. Welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you so much.
So my first question for you is, you don't do interviews.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Okay, well, number one, Alex.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. Like, I've been a big fan of you forever. I don't know how, like, I wish I knew my discovery story of you.
The clock.
It, honestly, no,
you're like, don't drag me like that.
I did. Let me tell you, like, I found you when things were very sexual.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
Wow. Yeah. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. So like, that's how I found you. I think I was really just like looking for advice on how to be crazy. But then like in turn, I fell in love with you.
God, so we're just, this is a big love fest.
It's such
we're
a love story.
We're about to just talk about how we're in love with each other.
I know.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing. We're all sobbing and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days. Daddy gang, Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And Daddy Gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes. And smell is to die for. Okay. I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come up to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God. What is that in your hair? So Daddy Gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit MondayHairCare.com to find a stockist near you. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
Quickly, to give people context that are listening of our story, I was thinking about this the other day. So Emma and I have, we're like represented by the same agency. And this was like right when I started the show, like the single father era of taking the show on by myself. And I was starting to have guests on. And I remember my agent was like, do you want to meet with Emma Chamberlain? And I'm like, absolutely, sure. We get on Zoom and we zoomed for like an hour and a half and we wouldn't shut the fuck up. And we won't talk about what we were talking about because it was like
everything.
Our publicist just kept being like, this is off the record. This is off the record. This is off the record. Emma, don't tell her that. And I'm like, I'm not going to go say anything. But so we just start talking. But it was a weird moment because I think my brand was still very sexual.
Yeah.
So we said we were going to potentially have like a collaboration. You were going to come on. It never ended up happening. It just wasn't the right time. Then the next time we saw each other was New York Fashion Week.
I think that that's what really, like, I was like, I don't even care what we talk about. Like, I need to do this because we just clicked so well.
Yeah.
And we just like talked about so much random shit and like, we just clicked so well.
Yeah, we were. It was kind of funny because we were, to give people again context, it was like a 10-person dinner party. And
yeah.
Emma and I are in the corner. while I was eating bread. You weren't because you were about to go to the Met Gala.
I'm like getting a facial done and getting my literally. Toes done while I'm at the table.
And we just were talking by ourselves the entire time. Yeah. Just about like life and the industry and how it's affected us. And it was like, I think that was when we're like, maybe we are eventually now ready to yeah. sit down and just converse because both of our brands have evolved.
Absolutely.
And it's time.
Well, I think it was one of those things where, you know, I have been on the internet for so long that people know me as a teenager.
Yes.
And I'm 20. I'm about to be 21, which is still literally like a child. Like I still am like prepubescent. Like I know I'm 21, but whatever, or almost 21. But I've been really trying to grow like in the public eye in a way because I can't stay a teenager in everybody's mind forever. But I think I needed to do some of that work on my own before I came on here and was like, let's talk about big girl stuff.
You're like, so the Gluck Gluck 9000. And I'm like, so Emma.
The first time I tried the Gluck Gluck was a year ago. And you guys won't believe what happened.
Impeccable result. No, impeccable. It's true.
I almost got married 6 times.
No, that is helpful to hear you say. And we're going to get into that, like the evolution of you and then the evolution also of your brand, because those are two different things. And yeah. I think as creators, like in a great way, I think people have started to kind of peel back the layer and show people on the internet like what it is like to have an online persona versus like what is actually who you are versus that persona.
Absolutely.
So here we go. Just like I usually do in every Caller Daddy episode, we're going all the way back. Okay.
All the way back.
Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in San Bruno, California, which is actually where YouTube headquarters is, which is ironic, a little bit of foreshadowing. I grew up with my parents. I was an only child. And when I was 5, we're like already getting into my drama. No, when I was 5, my parents got divorced and my mom moved like 20 minutes away from my dad. And that was actually not a super bad experience because I was so young that I just didn't really know any better. I was definitely a really bored kid because I was an only child and like my parents were both like fully working parents. And so I had a lot of time by myself and I was very bored a lot of the time, which I think is good. In retrospect, I think it was good because it made me a lot more curious, I would say, because I didn't have a lot of distractions. You know, it's the Silicon Valley. It's a big tech area and a lot of kids there are super smart. And there's this crazy pressure to go to a really good college, especially Stanford is like, you know, the big school there that everybody tries to go to. And there's also a lot of wealthy families too. And like, so a lot of people assume that if you live there, you're wealthy, but that was not the case for me and my family at all. But a lot of people there are very wealthy. There's like a very big gap, I would say, between it's like very, very, very wealthy and then like very like lower middle class. Okay. And like, definitely an in-between for sure, but not as much an in-between. It felt like there was a very stark difference. But I've, you know, my dad's an artist. So like I felt more on the, you know, lower middle class side of it, which was tough. But.
Yeah, did you feel like your family like didn't fit in?
For sure. We're living in a one bedroom apartment and all my friends at school are living in these massive mansions. It was tough socially, I would say. I didn't want to have people over. That's for sure.
So your parents are in some of your content.
Yeah.
They seem very chill. How do you describe your parents?
So we'll start with my dad. My dad is very open-minded and creative, but also very wise. Dad, this is, you know, this boy is the love of my life. And he's like, Emma, that dude's that's the worst dude I've ever met. Like he's.
You're like, really?
I'm like, Dad, what the fuck? No.
Like he's incredible, Dad.
I'm like, but he's so hot, Dad. Yeah. What are you talking about? No, but he like, he's very open-minded and very sweet and very like creative and, you know, not super controlling or super pushy or anything like that. But he also is opinionated because he has a lot of knowledge and wisdom about things. So he's not sweet and creative in the way that makes him a pushover. He'll tell me what he thinks, but he also gives me the freedom to like make the mistakes. And he's always done that. So, and he never judges me, but a very, very cool man. The coolest person I know. I mean, he like paints paintings and surfs every day. And like, that's his job is painting paintings and selling them. And like, started making YouTube videos before I did. Like, he's very cool, right? My mom is, how do I describe my mom? She's like one of the girls, you know what I mean? Okay. She's very lovable. I tell her everything, like everything. And I have no hesitation. Like, she knows everything I've ever done in my whole life.
Got it.
So I'm very, very close with her, but we're more like sisters, I would say. Like, you know, we used to butt heads a lot when I was growing up, and, you know, because she's picky. She's very, like, likes to keep the house clean and likes to have things folded a certain way, and she's very particular about things like that. Very meticulous woman about everything that she does, which is a very admirable quality. But when you're growing up and, you know, you don't know how to fold a blanket properly, like, it can cause some problems.
Absolutely.
But no, we, at the end of the day, we're very close. And even when we do fight, like, literal sisters, like, she's always there.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky that, you know, my parents have always been very not like traditional parents. Like, they're very sibling like.
Okay.
And I think it's because they didn't even consider themselves to be the type to be parents ever. And so they had me because they wanted to, but they were like, we don't fit the parent mold. So we're just going to do it in our own way. And it's been great.
I know you said, like, you didn't know any different, but do you, now looking back, like, how did your parents' divorce affect you?
Well, you know, I think in one way, and this is no one's fault, right? Like, I'm grateful for their divorce. And I'll say that before I, like, go in and, you know, it was, number one, what was best for them mm-hmm. and for their happiness. Number two, like, I never saw them fight. I never saw them argue. They divorced before it could ever become traumatizing in that way for me. And that's really mature. And also, they're still friends and they talk all the time. I mean, I'm really lucky in that way, too. Like, they get along great. Like, wow. They talk all the time. And they're so supportive of one another. So it's not been a negative thing in that way. But I will say that, for one, not having a relationship to look up to when you're growing up does become a little bit jarring when you're older and you're like, okay, I'm in my first relationship. What is this supposed to look like? I don't know. I've never seen it.
Did you wish you had had siblings?
You know, no, because again, like, my relationship with my parents was so close because it wasn't, there was nothing in the way of it, right? Like, yeah. Each parent was not in the way of my relationship with the other parent. And also, I didn't have a sibling in the way of my relationship with my parents. And listen, I think it could have been really fun to have a sibling. I don't know. I'll never know. Right. But I liked the friendship I was able to develop with my parents and the closeness. And I don't think I would have had that if I had a sibling.
What do you remember about signing up for your first social media account?
I had two older cousins. Well, I have two older cousins. They're 3 years older than me, and they were like my idols, you know, growing up. And they got Snapchat. And they're like, Emma, babe, it's time to download Snapchat on the iPod Touch. And I was like, you got it, girls. Let's go. And so I downloaded Snapchat. And, you know, we would just send each other silly stuff back and forth. Pretty soon after that, Instagram came out. And I was like, all right, here we go. So I downloaded that too. I think my cousins told me to download that too. And my first post was a picture of a mini bag of Cheez-Its with like some crazy ass filter on top of it. And I think my caption was something like, crunchy, yum. Like, what the fuck?
Thinking back to like the first like couple, like the first year of Instagram, we would have like borders on our photos and like disgusting filters.
I mean, I know.
Yes, you would take a picture of like your shoe and or like an extension cord.
Yeah.
And be like, life's long. And then you're like, what am I saying?
It was
like, dumb shit.
So weird. Like, I would do anything to be able to find my old Instagram.
I don't know if I would.
No, I would.
I'm like traumatized. I'm like, what the fuck was I posting? Because I was like a little older and I was like trying to be cool.
Okay.
Like with the cute selfies.
Yeah.
And those were not cute selfies.
Those were scary and spooky.
What did your parents have any rules or guidelines when you like first started on Snapchat and Instagram? Or did they just kind of let you do whatever you wanted?
Honestly, they didn't care.
Okay.
Like really just never brought it up. Like, they didn't care.
Because were you getting in trouble as a kid? Like, were you a good kid or?
I was a really good kid. I had, because of my anxiety as a kid, I think I had a really strong conscience, which is good. You know what I mean? I never did anything bad without my parents finding out about it 24 hours later.
Got it.
So they knew that I would tell them. Like, if I did something wrong, my conscience would force me to report it back to them.
Got it.
I don't know what that stems from. I don't know why that is, but I was very transparent with them. And so when it came to things like social media, they were like,
She's just not a bad kid.
Like, right. She's just not going to do bad shit on there. And I didn't, because I just didn't even know how to do bad stuff. I'm like, I like didn't know what bad stuff was.
Right.
I did have a kick. That just reminded me. I had a kick that I used for like just kids at school, messaging kids at school.
I forgot.
And then I would get like dick pics and kick. And then I got super scared. Like, so fucking
scared.
Was
that the first time you saw a penis?
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Oh, I was so fucking gross. I was like, I don't actually think I am sexually attracted to anything.
You're like, I do not know what I like, but I don't like that.
I don't like that. And so, like, who knows what's next?
Isn't that so sad that, like, if you get a dick pic and that's the first penis you see, like, you're, like, not attracted to it. Like,
no.
I was terrified. It makes you scared.
I was scared of penises until probably, like, I was 16.
Okay.
Like, seriously. Like, I was, like, I think not normal. Scared of them, but I was, like, that is such a foreign... Like, it was so alien to me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have siblings, so it's not like I had a little brother where, like, I, like, saw him growing up and, like, I saw a boy, like, exist. I didn't have a lot of guy friends. Like, so, to me, like, a penis... I was, like, I can't... I don't know what that is. Like, it scared me.
Everybody that listens to my show knows that I was obsessed with Hannah Montana growing up.
Same.
Like, okay, because yep. I was going to ask you, I'm like, who were you idolizing and watching when you were growing up that you were obsessed with?
Well, I have to give a few from the years.
Give it.
Okay. My first YouTube obsession was Fred. Do you remember Fred?
Oh, my iconic.
Iconic.
I completely forgot about that.
Well, I like got on YouTube super young, too, because like, you know, my dad was into YouTube. He was posting singing covers on YouTube when it first came out. And so he found out about it and was like, Emma, this is great. And we didn't have cable. So he's like, here you go, little one. You know, you don't get cable, but you do get this, babe. Enjoy.
It's a pretty good trade.
No, it was great. I loved it. So I got super into YouTube super young. Loved Fred. Then as I grew a little bit older, it was Jonas Brothers for me and Hannah Montana.
Which one was your favorite?
It kind of teetered between Nick and Joe. Sorry, Kevin. Honestly, Kevin's
coming back.
No, Kevin's he's a fucking angel. He deserved more.
He did. Have you ever met them?
I've met Joe.
I went to the Hannah Montana concert where it was like half Hannah Montana, half the Miley show. And I remember the Jonas Brothers opened for them. And I remember my dad being like, I promise you in like a year, everyone's going to be obsessed with these guys. And I was like, no. And then I was obsessed in a year. I was like, I love them. And then when like Nick had the diabetes thing, we were all like devastated and everyone was obsessed. And it was like,
we were like, we will do anything to save him.
Anything. Like, it was so dramatic.
No, I know.
Okay. So you had Jonas Brothers. You liked Miley.
I loved Hannah Montana, Miley, all of that. Okay, I have to bring this up because it's so fucking funny.
Okay.
But like when I was like 12, 13 and Vine came out, I was a huge MagCon girl.
Okay. That's okay.
No, it hurts.
Explain.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's explain this for people who don't know what MagCon is. Basically, there was a group of really hot... Well, okay, it's creepy to say that they're hot now that I'm 20.
No, it's okay.
But like at the time, I thought that they were the hottest guys I'd ever seen. They were on Vine doing absolutely nothing of substance.
Right.
Right? Which is fine, totally. You know? Like, that's not their fault.
Right.
It's good like TikTok. For them. Right. It's exactly like TikTok. It's basically, it was like a group of like really good looking kids that were on Vine that were famous, and they would like go on tours and do meet and greets and like meet all their young girl fans and like, you know, do weird shit on stage that made no sense because they really, if you think about it, didn't necessarily have some sort of talent except for actually Shawn Mendes was in MagCon and he is like now Shawn Mendes. So like it worked out for some of them. It was like
then.
Cameron Dallas and like Nash Greer. You know what I mean?
I remember that. Yes.
I was obsessed with them. Like I And they had YouTube channels, and I would rewatch their videos like every night before bed. And I was like, one day, like, I'll meet a MadCon boy and I'll be able to just date one of them and they'll fall in love with me. And like, I think that's how
a lot of people felt, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I will say that it, like, my crushes as a young person were all consuming. Like, they were not like cute little mini crushes. Like I was obsessed.
Fiending for that.
I was fiending. It was weird. Like, in retrospect, it's so out of character.
Right.
Like, people would not assume that of me, but I've always been somebody that, like, when I have a crush on someone, I'm not creepy. I don't, like, stalk anybody, but it is all consuming for me.
I get that, because then you go spiral down, like, you watch every YouTube video, yes, and you watch every single possible thing that you consume of them, yeah, like, interviews and everything.
Everything.
And then you're invested in their life.
Yeah.
And they don't even know who you are.
Nope.
Well, now they probably do. let's talk high school.
Yeah.
You go to a private school.
Yeah.
I've seen the videos. You're wearing a plaid skirt. Yeah. Sort of plaid.
It was, I don't even fucking want to think about it.
Describe your high school.
So I had an interesting experience, with high school, because basically I was a really academically driven student.
Okay.
And so I was obsessed with the idea of going to a super prestigious college, and I was willing to do anything to get there. And so when it came time to choose what high school I was going to go to, the public schools in my area were not great. And I wanted to go to that. I wanted to go to a braggy, you know, super prestigious, like, you know, impressive school. And I was like, I can't get that if I go to these public schools. So I was like, Mom and Dad, I want to go to a private school. And I went and I toured this all-girls Catholic school had a really great education. And I was like, you know, this could actually be good. I really liked the environment when I toured the school. And I was able to get financial aid so that I could financially go there, because I would not have been able to afford it otherwise. And so there I went. I went to all-girls Catholic school. And I hated it after the first year. And I was like, I made a big fucking mistake, and I haven't seen a boy in a long time. And
you're like, now those dick pics on Kick are
suddenly
not...
I'm trying to fucking hack back into my Kick to see those dick pics. I'm like, guys, anything.
when you started high school, that's interesting to know, you did have college goals.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you want to go?
My dream school was Columbia, mm-hmm, which was like not gonna fucking happen. But like, you know, actually, I mean, yeah, I was a good student. Like, I don't know how I was a good student.
Okay, why?
But I like just knew how to do school for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so I got really good grades, like always above a 4.0 every year. I don't fucking know how it's possible.
Okay, flex.
I was like really just, and I don't think that school is a great measure of intelligence. Okay. I'll be the first one to say it, because I'm a fucking idiot in a lot of areas. So like, whatever, but I was good at school. So I was like, I'm going to use this. And, you know, I wanted to go into the medical field. Like, I wanted to be an anesthesiologist.
Wow.
But like, on what basis? One time I had anesthesia when I had a surgery, and the anesthesiologist, I can't even fucking pronounce the word of the.
It's okay. No, you sounds good. That
whatever.
Sounds good.
Sounds good enough.
Yeah, it is.
I dropped out of high school, so it's fine that I don't know how to pronounce it. Okay. Yeah, like, yeah. I didn't finish my education, so you can't expect too much from me. Like, I got a surgery once and was like, oh, this job seems chill. And then I looked up how much they make a year, and I was like, oh, this job's super chill.
Yeah, this is a good, this is a good chill.
I'm like,
vibe.
You have to go to school for like 11 years, but like, fuck
eventually
it.
You'll get that check.
Why not?
When did you have your first kiss? Like, if you're not with boys, like, when did you have your first kiss?
I had my first kiss freshman year on New Year's Eve.
That's kind of cute.
No.
Oh.
It was not cute.
No.
Actually, you know, in retrospect, it was fine. Like, it could have been a lot worse.
Okay.
But it was pretty bad.
Did you meet the guy then if you were at an all-girls school?
Basically, the all-girls school had a corresponding all-boys school.
Yep.
Right?
Classic.
And so we would kind of party with the boys from the all-boys school. And they had friends that they knew from middle school that were at other, like, co-ed schools. And then we knew other girls that went to other co-ed schools. So it kind of all, like, congealed. But I think that the thing that made it possible for the boys and girls to be together was the fact that both boy and girl schools were desperate for each other.
Got it. Oh,
you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you know, there was like a distinct, like, okay, this is the corresponding boys' school. So it was like, we didn't see each other every day, but at football games, we'd see each other and prom and things like that. Anyway, I actually ended up kissing a guy from like a school that was probably 30 minutes away, that like came to a New Year's party that we were throwing, right, like the two schools. And it was extremely set up.
Mm, those are the worst.
You know, it was like, oh, he's outside waiting now. Okay, but you also have to like,
so rough.
Can we paint a picture? Like, I was a super late bloomer. I mean, I had like no boobs. Like, I looked really young. Like, it was like, I looked super young.
Yeah.
I always have. I even now look kind of young. A lot of people think I look young now. So I felt super... Also, I never felt like mature enough for like this type of behavior. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because mentally I felt mature enough, but physically I didn't. I felt like I didn't fit the super feminine mold, right? Where you like have like boobs and like, you know, you wear like a low top and like whatever. I could not participate in that. So I felt so uncomfortable when it was time to do anything with boys because I was like, I want to. And like, I mentally feel ready, but outwardly, I don't feel like I look ready.
Yeah.
And I feel insecure of my appearance, even though I know that in my brain, like, I'm ready and that I like love boys. And in fact, I'm like quite obsessed with boys. Like, yeah. But I didn't feel like I looked that way.
What were you most insecure about appearance wise?
I was super insecure about my boobs.
Okay.
Because, which now I'm like, I love having small boobs. Like, it's the best thing ever. Like, I don't care. But, you know, when I was younger, I like didn't have any boobs. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, they're flat. And, you know, guys in middle school used to give me a hard fucking time about that.
So mean.
Like, calling me, you know, like a door, yeah, like, oh, whatever, same. Like shit like that. And which is fine. Like, whatever. I'm friends with those kids now. Like, I forgive.
Okay.
But, you know, it's good to be forgiving. But I also like didn't get my period until I was 16. And I felt like I wasn't a woman without it. You know, I was right. Like.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Who's ready to create some core memories this spring, Daddy Gang? Rally the squad. We're packing up and heading out on a road trip in UGG. Y'all know I live in my UGG classic boots. Well, now it's time to swap out the boots for the sandal of the season, the Golden Glow, because you already know UGG season is year-round, baby. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/call her daddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
You start making videos at one point in high school.
Yes.
And when I was growing up, I was familiar with having a camera in my face because my dad is in the TV industry.
Yes.
And so every single Christmas or birthday, there's cameras everywhere in my house. And so naturally, I knew I was the star. Yeah. And I know that's cringe.
No, but it's not cringe,
back
though.
Then I was like, Dad, cue the cam. Here I
come. I'm meant to be right here.
What do you remember about your early performances on a camera?
Well, I was always really obsessed with YouTube because, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't have cable. And so I watched a lot of YouTube. And when I was like in fifth grade, I tried to make a YouTube video on my iPad.
Oh, I wish we could watch it.
I wish we could watch it so bad. I need to find that iPad because it has so much good shit on it. But my cousins and I were constantly making little videos during family vacations, during, you know, holidays, like whatever, constantly making little videos. Like there were these iMovie trailer templates, yes, that you could use. So you could make like a movie trailer, but iMovie provided the template. So all you had to do is like film little things and then they would plug it in for you. And so we would do those all the time. So I was familiar and comfortable in that sense where, you know, my cousins and I were always obsessed.
There is a big difference between recording something, mm-hmm, and then pressing upload on that. Ooh, shit. Like, yeah, you got to have balls to press upload.
For sure.
What compelled you to press upload on your first YouTube video?
Well, my first YouTube video ever, I was in fifth grade and I was like, I don't care. I didn't even want to like be famous. Like, I never thought I could like get any like recognition from it. To this day, I've always like looked at fame as an impossible thing. So I was like, I'm not going to become famous from this. Right. But I was like, even just like a few people commenting will make me feel good. Post. And then, of course, like nothing happened. And then I deleted it like a week later. That was my very first one. But then, when I was 16 and I uploaded, I was in such a shitty spot that I was like, I have nothing to lose. Like, I'm so depressed. I'm so unhappy. I want to do something that makes me feel good, and YouTube has always made me feel good. So I'm just going to post on there.
Did anyone from your high school, when they saw that, make fun of you or like say anything mean?
Behind my back, yes, but never to my face. And I heard about people saying shit behind my back, but it's like,
what were they saying?
They were just like, does she really think anything's going to come of that? Which is, you know what? No, listen, fair enough. Like, if I would have seen someone from my high school posting on YouTube, number one, I would have said the same thing about them. I would have been like, really? Like, what's going to come on, you guys? Like, it's not easy. But on the other hand, I was even saying that to myself. It wasn't like I was posting YouTube videos being like, I'm going to make it big one day. You know, I was posting videos like, this is just a hobby for me. And like, even if I just get 100 subscribers, like, that's fun. Like, I just a little community. And also, I enjoy making the videos. I enjoy the process of it. So what happened after I pressed upload was more just like, well, at least it lives somewhere.
When did you go viral?
So about like 2 or 3 months after I started.
That's crazy.
It was, you know, and it was crazy. But I also think that a big reason for that was I was uploading every fucking day. Like, I was uploading every single day during the summer. And by the end of the summer, I had like something like 50 videos. And so I had such a collection already that it was easy. It didn't take as long because I was grinding. I mean, every day I was like, I need to make a video every day. And then I ended up cutting it down and I was like 3 days a week. And then I cut it down 2 days a week. And then I cut it down 1 day a week. But it was like in the beginning I started and I was like, I just want to get as good at this as I can as quickly as fucking possible. And then when that one video did really well, like, it was this video where I went to the dollar store and I bought a bunch of like random shit and did like a fake haul. Like, I was kind of like kidding around doing a haul. And I was really proud of the video. And it like after 2 weeks, it had like 500,000 views or something. Or maybe it was like it had 100,000 views after like, yeah.
And like, when that was happening, what were you doing? Like, were you telling your parents? What were you
out? My parents, my dad was like super interested. He was like, I think you could really do something with this actually. And I was like, okay, I don't. But thanks, Dad. I was like, Dad, like that is like one in a trillion. Like, why are we, let's not go there because I'm just going to get disappointed, you know? But he's like, I don't know, Emma. Like, I think if you really get good at this, like something could come of it. When all of a sudden, like so many people are watching. You're like, I actually cannot comprehend this number of people. I can't comprehend the fact that all of a sudden now I'm making money. You know, I can't comprehend any part of this. So I'm just going to go robot mode and like just like, you stop processing it.
It's a really weird thing to try to explain too, because it's not like you're a singer where you're like filling a stadium for a concert. So you're like making these things and pressing upload and then going to bed. And like, yet it's crazy to see that number, but it still doesn't fully register that like, whoa, like 500,000 people just watched that video.
Yeah.
It feels
It's like
strange.
A different metric in your brain.
Yeah.
Like it's like you're looking at it in a different, you're not looking at it as real people. But you're also not looking at it as just a number. There's this like weird in-between way that your brain processes it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I think I knew subconsciously that if I looked into it too deeply and I thought about it too deeply that I'd psych myself out, fuck myself over and ruin the whole thing. So I was like, I'm not going to think. I'm just going to just tunnel vision, keep going. And like I did that up until probably the last 3 months and it has been really uncomfortable when you really like wake up and realize like, oh shit, this is the situation. It's like I finally turned off my tunnel vision and it felt like everything was like that had been building for 4 years was now right in front of me and I had never looked at it. You know what I mean?
Yes. And yeah. We're going to get into that because yes. But first.
Yes.
Why did you drop out of high school?
So the summer of sophomore year, I started my YouTube channel because I was depressed. And I was like, my dad was like, you need a hobby. I said, okay. So I started my channel. And by the end of the summer, you know, I was making money. And I was like, and I've never made money, you know? And I was like, oh shit. Okay. This is actually pretty serious, you know? And I was loving it. And people at school were like respecting me because they weren't being an asshole anymore. Some people still were, but you know, people were like excited for me and I was excited. And junior year, I was like, okay, this is the year I take hard classes. So I was taking like 3 AP classes. And long story short, it just was so, I couldn't do schoolwork and YouTube, but I was like, obviously schoolwork is more important. So I was like, okay, I'll just drop some of my classes and take easier classes. But then YouTube kept building and I was like, I already took all the, like, I'm just taking added shit to help me for college. And I started questioning, okay, am I even going to go to college anyway? Now that this YouTube thing is going the way that it is, I'm making an income now. I can support myself now. All of a sudden, by the end of the summer, I was like, I actually could support myself. It changed everything. And I was like, I don't think I need to be working this hard because I don't think I'm actually going to college anymore. I might try to ride this out. And then when this doesn't work out anymore, then I can go to college. Even if I'm like 30, like who gives a fuck, you know? And so I took one of those standardized tests and just left school. Like I kept basically dropping classes more and more until it got to a point where I was like, I just don't need to be here. Because I'm not learning anything that is necessary. It was all stuff that was only really necessary for college. I had already taken all of the classes that I needed to that were like normal high school level. I was just doing added shit. What's the point of that? I was like, this is stupid. So I was out of there.
How did you tell your parents and how did they react?
Honestly, it was kind of their idea. It was kind of like, it was not just my idea. I wasn't like, Mom and Dad, like, I want to leave school. They were like, you're so miserable in school. You know, Well, actually, at first we were thinking about homeschooling me.
Interesting.
So actually, that was the first idea. They were like, you, this is not, this structure is not working, right? And so we toyed around with the idea of homeschooling me. But then after doing more research, we were like, okay, actually, just let's just cut it.
Cut it.
Because, and I, you know, I know that I don't recommend people drop out of school. And I think that my situation was very unique because I was fortunate enough to get all of my, like, general high school education out of the way in the first two years. And that's a really, like, again, like, it would have been irresponsible to leave if that had not been completed. And I actually have never said that out loud, I don't think. But I know it's kind of fun to be reckless and be like, I dropped out of school, like, fuck it. But it wasn't this super irrational, super irresponsible. I could have gone straight to college from that point that I was at.
Got it.
You know, so, like, I didn't need to, it wasn't fucking me over. I completed my high school credits. Okay. Like, I was done. You know what I'm saying? So
how did your friends react when you told them? Like, were you close with a lot of people in high school? Did you have a lot of friends?
The first year and a half of high school, yes. But towards the end, no. I only really had one friend. And even, and she, like, knew everything about, like, she knew about how school was, like, affecting me negatively and how I just was depressed. So, like, I couldn't be social, you know,
right.
And I couldn't deal with the ebbs and flows of friendship. I just didn't have that in me. And so she understood that. And she was kind of kept up to date on, like, how things were evolving. But she, you know, she was like, she had other friends. Like,
yeah.
she was just like, peace, you know, and everybody was just kind of like, peace. I really just disappeared one day, honestly.
If you could change one thing about that time in your life, what would it be?
Nothing. I really, you know, I have a lot of moments in my life that I look back at and cringe at, and I have a lot of moments that I regret, like, for sure. And not regret, that's actually completely the wrong word. I have a lot of moments that I'm like, damn, I would do that so differently now. But I refuse to ever even think about how I would change things, because every bad experience has just made me.
Have you ever had one of those moments, like, a little jealous of that, like, classic college experience you see on TikTok? People are at the frat parties. Do you ever be like, okay.
Yes.
Is it more about, like, the social aspect that you kind of wish you could partake in?
I think the thing that I sometimes get a little bit upset about is, like, how quickly I had to grow up. And it sounds so, again, like, just so, like, Emma, shut the fuck up. But I don't think I realized when I left school and immediately started working how there's no leeway for me anymore. You know what I mean? There was no room for being a kid anymore. Like, it was like, okay, no, you have to get your fucking act together, because you're saying, you know, that you can make a living on your own and that you're going to make this shit work,
right,
and that you're going to make it last, and that, you know, moving to LA is a good idea, and that being friends with other, you know, YouTubers is a good idea, and, you know, having to do your own laundry and do your own dishes and cook for yourself and taxes. Like, there's so many facets of it that you're like, oh shit, you know, I didn't realize that this came with this, you know?
Right.
By quitting school and by just going straight into being technically self-employed, I was also saying that I could handle all those other things. My parents were very helpful with the technical stuff, but emotionally, you know, there's no way to prepare.
College is basically 4 years of you to be able to fake act like an adult.
Yes.
You don't really have much responsibility, but you are on your own. And for you, it was like, oh, wait, no, you actually do have responsibility. Because if you don't keep uploading, like, you don't have a job,
right,
and you didn't apply to college. So, like,
right,
where are we going? At 16 years old, you become famous on the internet. How did people start treating you differently?
I would say at first, not much changed. It was really interesting because yes, I had a following on the internet that, if you look at it, you know, like 100,000 subscribers, that's a fuck ton of subscribers, right? But in the grand scheme of the world, people didn't really, they're like, eh, we'll see you at a million. Like, you know, this is, yeah, whatever. My family was very skeptical, like my outer family. They were kind of like, what is going on? You know? And so they didn't treat me any different, but they were definitely just like curious. A lot of people were really curious, but I didn't really have any friends. So I didn't have any friends reacting to like what was happening to me.
When you say you didn't have any friends, did you feel lonely?
Yes, but I really wanted, once I started to, you know, turn YouTube into my job, I started to feel like I couldn't really relate to kids in my high school as well. And so I was like, you know, I would still hang out with those kids and we would have fun. And like, that was fine, but there was a disconnect. And so I started looking to find people that were in this space that could be friends with me. And I ended up finding those friends, and that was really awesome. So like, and we didn't live near each other, but I made quite a bit of friends on the internet that were doing the same thing. And it was nice because there was a mutual understanding, and also there was no weirdness. There was, yeah, no questions about it. There was just like a unspoken understanding that was very special at the time.
There's always the moment when you start getting recognized in public.
Yeah.
When do you remember like the first time you got recognized?
So I go to Maine every summer with my family on vacation, and I had like 6,000 subscribers when I went the summer of sophomore year. Like 6,000 subscribers, okay? Which to me was like, oh my God, fuck all y'all.
I'm popping off.
Y'all don't know me anymore. I'm different now. No, but so I'm on vacation in Maine, and this girl comes up to me and like asks me for a photo. Now I had 6,000 subscribers. I thought that this was a real interaction. My grandma set that up.
No. You're like, oh my God, you guys, I just got asked for a picture. Your grandma.
I'm already getting a big fucking head, grandma. Do not play with me like this.
Holy shit.
No, but it was sweet. It was sweet.
That's actually so cute.
It was hilarious. So
eventually though, you did start to gain attention. How did you handle initially getting noticed in public and like the attention?
At first, I've actually gone through phases with it. Like in the very beginning, I was stoked, and I was like, this is so awesome. Like it was, you know, my dream was coming true, right? It was so fucking cool. And then, you know, I've gone through ebbs and flows where it's made me a little anxious. Because if I'm not in a good spot, like I'll get anxious about not being in a good spot mentally. And I'm like, is this showing? Like, I started getting anxiety about giving these people like the best experience they could possibly have meeting me. And then that kind of got into my head. But I didn't have that thought in the very beginning. So yep, that came into play later.
It feels like no one hates you. And I'm going to take notes right now because I'm a little bit more polarizing. Why do you think you're so lovable?
I don't feel that I am. And I think that...
Really?
I mean, I've gone through the ringer.
Really? In what way?
Well, so there was like... There's been chunks of time throughout my experience on the internet where I've been like widely disliked. You know, whether people thought I was annoying or people like... Or... Like, it's interesting. Like, there's just been periods of time when people have just not liked me, and the general conversation around me has been negative. The thing that's really interesting about it is that I noticed this just from talking to other people in this space. A lot of people, they're so hyper-focused on themselves, as they should be. We're human, right? Right. So, like, I perceive you, and I'm like, nobody fucking hates you, right? But see, you, because I'm not seeing people giving you shit, right? Whereas, like, you're not seeing people give me shit. Everybody gets shit. And so everybody, their own perception of their own career and, like, general likeness is not right, right? Yeah. It's skewed in a negative direction for everybody individually. I look at any other personality on the internet, and unless they're, like, genuinely,
yeah,
just a bad fucking person and everyone knows it, unless that's what's going on, generally, like, nobody's gonna see it. except for you.
Yeah, like it's almost like everyone ebbs and flows with hate and love.
Yeah.
If you're putting content out there.
Yeah.
And also everyone's memory is so short on shit. It's
people
like,
don't give a fuck.
No, they act like they do because it's fun to like get together in a group and be like, yeah, let's cancel this person. But then in a week, they're like, oh my God, like you're doing this. And then they love you. And it just ebbs and flows. But that is a good point to say, like, to hear from you saying like you do get hate.
Yeah.
To summarize, like, what do they hate you for?
I mean, I would say that like when I was a lot younger, I edited in like a really like fast paced, like a kind of, you know, flashy way. And it was kind of like, and I thought it was like funny and annoying. And that's why I liked it. I was like, I think this is just like funny and entertaining and like it's not serious, like whatever. But some people just found that annoying and were like, why the fuck do people want to watch this? Which I totally get, because that's not everybody was going to like the style of editing and my personality. I was a loud kid. I was a, you know, outgoing kid, and people just thought I was annoying. So that was like one thing. But then also I think a big part of it was just like when you become successful, people just are going to nitpick just about anything.
Yeah.
And so, and I understood that. I was like, I get it. Like I'm, you know, I'm a target and I understand that. And I think some of it might have been from jealousy and some of it just might have been from like people just simply not enjoying me. And like, that's fair, but it doesn't make it not hurt. You know, I can't blame people. I get the culture of the internet, but it still sucks.
It does suck.
You know,
well, it's hard because then you get all these good comments and then you see one and you're like, it sticks with you. And then it's like, wait, all these people are actually like telling you how great you are and they love the content. And then you see one and then you're like, my whole day sucks.
It's always that way.
Yeah.
You think you can, and you might have a good moment where you're like, oh, this shit doesn't bother me, but it always comes back.
Is there anything that made you almost quit?
I will say there has been a lot of times where I've almost quit.
So, this is Call Her Daddy.
Yes, I have had sex, Alex. There's a lot of room to get fucked over when you're being friends with people in your industry. And that's something that I really struggled with. This person's like profiting off of me in some way. I don't think that they actually care about me. And these like YouTubers who are maybe more established, I think that they knew that they could kind of
push you around,
push me around a little bit, not only on camera but off. Like, you are using me, I can tell, fuck you. If I went and addressed every fucking rumor or every fake blah 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 about me, you know, I wouldn't, that would be actually my full-time job. Like, I just feel so out of control of the public perception of me. I remember my ex-boyfriend, one of his friends was like, dude, like, she doesn't actually like you, like, she, I don't think she actually likes you, like, she's, I think she likes girls. And the psychological damage is quite, it is crazy.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.